The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Change. Boy, we need a lot of change. We need change in our individual lives. We need changes in our churches. We need change in our community, in our nation, our society. We need some change. We've seen some negative changes over the years. We need to see some positive changes. Amen? And that can only happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. Only God can make the necessary changes that we really need in our lives and in our community, in our nation. And God is still on the throne. He's still doing that kind of thing. Amen? Yes, all we have to do is cry out to Him. Yes, he hears our prayers. Yes, I've got a continuation of a message we're calling March Gladness, because we're talking about serving, and today my message is serving with confidence. And throughout this month, we're going to have opportunity for people to see the different ministries within the church that we have, the different people who head up those ministries, and opportunities for you to be involved with those ministries and whatever ministry God is calling you to. So we want you to recognize that there are lots of opportunities here at Bethel. We want you to be involved, and we want you to recognize that God is calling you. He has gifted you to minister to other people. And ministry is not just in the church. Ministry is wherever you go. Marketplace ministry or life ministry is extremely important, that we just recognize that opportunities arise for us as we go about our day-to-day life. And not to get all caught up in, you know, I've got to witness to this person and tell them about Jesus. Just be yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and give you opportunity. If people open up to you and have a prayer need, don't be afraid to pray for them. That's what they need. If you will take opportunities like that, you will see changes take place in other people, but you'll see changes take place in you as well. God wants to develop you and create in you the new creature that He intends you to be. All right. We're going to be talking about serving with confidence, and serving with confidence means that you got to make some decisions that come along in life, and you have to confidently make those decisions. Life is all about making decisions. Can everybody say amen to that? Amen. You know, who am I going to marry? What career should I pursue? What vehicle should I buy? Ford, Chevy, or one of the other mini brands that are on the market? There's decisions. Is this the right house for my family? And every one of us has probably struggled with some of these decisions in our life. And they're not the only decisions that we make, but they're typical decisions that we as human beings have to make. You know, how many kids are we going to have? Sometimes we miss that one. We have more than we expected. Or sometimes we're unable to have children like we wanted to. But God is still on the throne. God opens doors. You know, God does create situations where people can have children. Sometimes it's through adoption. And I know, praise God, Otis and Ivy can speak to that, how blessed they are that God allowed that to happen in their life. So, you know, there's decisions that we have to make on a regular basis. And we have to make decisions on what are we going to do in regards to serving God. That's just one of those things. God requires some things of us. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, it says, O man, what is good? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You see, there's some basic things that we can do, that we have to do as believers in Jesus Christ. We have to first recognize that God does require some things of us. You know, there's a lot of preaching and teaching out there these days that would lead you to believe that God doesn't require anything of you. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that's it. There's nothing required. That's a false doctrine. There is much required of you. And part of what is required of you is that you do justly. What's that mean? That you serve God and that you treat people correctly. You're just in all that you do. You're honest. You're a person of integrity. You walk in morals, and I'm talking about biblical morals. You recognize what the biblical morality is all about. Maybe you don't know what the biblical morality is. You need to get into the Word of God. These days in our society, things are so much different than they used to be. I can tell you this, God's morality never changes. Society's does.
That's right. That's right.
These days, it's okay, societal-wise, to live together. Biblically speaking, it's called fornication.
That's right.
And you're not supposed to do that. So what, you didn't know that? Okay, you know, Pastor Rob's trying to teach you something from the Bible, from the Word of God, so that you can apply this to your life. And if you're living with someone, you need to take a step back and say, hey, how can we take care of this? You know, marriage is a good option, no doubt about it.
Amen.
Let's go that route.
Amen.
You know, if you love that person, let's go that route. If you're having second thoughts about whether you love that person or not, let's get out of the relationship. Let's stop what you're doing. You do not want to walk in blatant sin before God. And there's so many things that are this way in regards to the Word of God. Society says it's okay, but God says it's not. Now, listen. When people ask my opinion of something like this, I have to say, it's not my opinion. I'm not going to give you my opinion. If you want to know God's opinion, we can go to the Scripture and I can show you what God says. The same issue, you know, same thing arises in regards to homosexuality. You know, what is your opinion, Pastor Rob? It's not my opinion. I could care less how you live your life from my perspective. But I can tell you what God says about it. It's an abomination. It makes him sick. Does he hate you? No, he doesn't hate you. He loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son, that he would die on the cross for your sins. You can repent of your sin and live and serve him with all your heart, soul, and mind. Oh, man, praise God. We have that option. Most people who ask, what is God's will for my life? They want to know specifically what God has for them. And sometimes we just have to go back to the basics, like I was just talking about, and recognize that there are just certain things that we have to get in order first. Listen, if you're not walking justly before the Lord, if you're not walking in biblical morality, if you're not an ethical person, guess what? Let's not worry about being in a position where you're going to influence other people and what God wants you to do here and there and everywhere. There's opportunities for you to serve, yes. But let's get the basics right. God wants you to grow. He wants to bring you up. You're a child in the Lord. You're a babe in Christ. And you need to be fed the milk of the Word to begin with. And then you need to grow up and begin to eat the meat of the Word, so that we can become strong and healthy. I'm always getting on to my grandson, Owen. He loves snacking. He comes to our house and he's always going to the cabinet to get my Peeps. My candy. You you know? So it's pretty hard for me to be kind of hard on him, isn't it?
Amen.
But he surely is a snacker. He loves those sweets. I didn't even know why I told you that. I'm not sure why I got off on that. You'll have to forgive me. That must have been a rabbit trail. But most people are asking, God, what do you want? What do you want from me? And I think it's really important that we understand we have to start someplace with God. I was reading a little story this week about a company that was interviewing an MIT graduate, and this would be his first job. And at the end of the interview, the human resource person said to him, he said, "And what kind of salary would you like to have?" And the new, brand new graduate, never worked before in this field, said, "Well, I was thinking somewhere around $200,000, depending on the package that you offer me." Guy sat back and rubbed his chin a little bit. He said, "Well, what would you think about 5 weeks vacation, 14 paid holidays, full medical and dental benefits, a company matching retirement up to 50% of your salary, a company car every 2 years, say a red Corvette?" And the MIT graduate's eyes got about that big around, and he said, "You're kidding." And the guy said, "Yeah, but you started it." Everybody wants to start out on the top these days. Nobody wants to work their way up, and it even happens in the body of Christ. We have to recognize there is a learning curve here that needs to take place. We got to learn and grow in the Lord, get to the place. This is a place where you can learn and grow. I'm not here condemning you this morning. If some of the things I talked about you didn't know, I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to grow you up so that you can grow in the Lord and be everything that God wants you to be. These days, people want to start out on top rather than work their way up. Proving yourself is old-fashioned these days. But the reality is that's the only way. You must prove yourself. I believe God is looking for servants that will hear his voice and obey. He told King Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. When he went off to do his own thing, he said, be obedient. God doesn't care about this animal sacrifice. He's very concerned about you obeying him. So we need to learn to discern God's voice and obey all that he has for us. Making decisions with confidence, including deciding where you can best serve the body of Christ, is extremely important. But we're going to talk about making overall decisions, how we can have I hate to call it a roadmap, but that's kind of what it is. We can look and figure out certain things that we need to do in order to make godly decisions. The body of Christ needs godly people leading and directing them. The body of Christ needs people who are people of honesty, integrity, morality, good people who will rise up and serve not only the body, but serve the community, serve the world that we live in. Making decisions with confidence is part of being that kind of person. Listen, if you vacillate in all your decisions, and you do not show confidence in the decisions that you make, you're going to be a miserable person, and the people around you are going to be miserable. "Well, I don't know whether I can do this or I can do that." Wait a minute. Who are you? You're a child of the Most High God. Greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. You can do. Now, yes, we need to determine whether this particular thing is God's will for your life. And let's look at ways that we can determine that. But you can do it, whatever it is. Now, the reason that I decided I wanted to talk about serving with confidence and looking at these principles, during our life group this week, one of the people in our life group was making decisions about something that she was wondering whether God was telling her to do this thing or not, service here in the church. And just so happened that Darren Walker, coincidence of course, had listened to a sermon by Rick Warren. And he jotted down the notes, and that sermon was about making decisions and steps toward making godly decisions. And it was good teaching, and we went through it. And it prompted me to go back and look at some notes that, I had. And I realized that this teaching, the teaching that I had was a little different, but it was basically the same idea. You know, there's some differences that Rick Warren is not spirit-filled, so he wouldn't talk anything about getting a word from God in regards to a prophecy, a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, tongue interpretation. But I believe that's a part of making decisions. God will speak to us through these things. But it was a very good teaching, and we really enjoyed talking about it. So here's what I want you to know for sure. Number one, God wants you to be fulfilled. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be successful in whatever you put your hands to. He has a plan for you, and he wants all these things to work in your life. In Jeremiah 29:11, we are told by the Lord, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." God has a future for you. He wants you to have hope for the future. That's the kind of God we serve. He's not condemning you. He's not putting you down. You may have made some mistakes and done some things that are troubling you right now, but God wants to lift you up and give you a hope for the future. You may have made some drastic mistakes in the not too distant past, and you're struggling. God wants you to know he's on your side and he's lifting you up. But here's something that we have to learn, is that this principle of sowing and reaping, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived." Listen, I don't want you to be deceived by anything. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And he's talking about the things that we do in our life, the way we handle our family, the way we handle our relationships, the way we handle our church, the way we handle our spiritual life, the way we handle our finances. He's talking about everything in our life. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So be careful what you're sowing. Because you can sow bad seed. And if you've sown bad seed in the recent past, you're going to be reaping some bad harvest for a period of time. I can't wipe that out for you. God can do some miraculous things, and I've seen him do it in people's lives. I've seen people who was looking at long sentence for criminal activity, and God intervened and released them. Incredible things. I've seen people head over heels in debt. Seemed like they were never going to get out, but they set their mind to do what God told them to do and handle their finances God's way, and bam, they started moving in a direction, and God moved supernaturally and set them free from that great debt. But you have to sow properly. And I'm not just talking about giving. I'm talking about handling your finances overall properly. Yes, giving is a very important part of it. Yes, I believe you need to tithe. Yes, I believe you need to sow into other people's lives. Yes, I believe you need to give into ministries. Hallelujah. I believe all those things set up a pattern in your life that down the road, As you continue to do those things that the Bible tells you, then the harvest begins to come. And if you keep that pattern going, the harvest will continue in your life. But the, you know, the converse is reality as well. If you keep sowing bad seed, look out. Look out, because you're going to keep reaping bad seed. I have people come to me all the time, and they tell me all the things that they've been doing and how they've messed up their life, and then they just keep on doing them instead of changing direction. You know, I've known so many people that go to church on a regular basis. They love to go out on Friday night and Saturday night and sow some bad seed. They just sow all kinds of crazy seed. And then they go to church on Sunday morning and pray for crop failure. And it doesn't work that way. If you're sowing bad seed, you're going to reap that bad seed. Therefore, it is absolutely necessary that we reap, or we sow the right seed, so that we can reap good seed. Cry out to God. Here's the first thing I want to share with you this morning. If you're in that situation, cry out to God and repent. Repentance is always the first step in repairing whatever it is in our life. If we will repent, get on our knees before God and cry, God, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. I made this mistake. I've done wrong. Touch me. Yeah. Even King David, who committed adultery, had her husband murdered. And when Nathan the prophet came to him and said, "You're an evil sinner," basically, that's what he told him. David repented and said, "God, come back into my life. Do not take Holy Spirit from me." And God responded. You see, God responds to a repentant heart. And this morning, I believe that's the first step that we have to take. And that is repentance. Cry out to God. If we've sown bad seed, cry out to Him. And I'll guarantee this. I can't guarantee all the consequences will go away, but I can guarantee this. God will give you a fresh start, a new start. And you will reap a good harvest. Many years ago, the Chinese planted potatoes, some of the first to ever plant potatoes and raise potatoes. And what they started doing was they would take the big, nice potatoes out of their harvest, and they would use those to eat, to cook. And they would keep the little small ones. Anybody ever raised potatoes, you know, you always dig up, there's always some wee little ones in there. They would keep the little ones. And over a period of years, as they began to plant those little potatoes and gather their harvest, guess what happened? Little potatoes was about all they would get. It created a famine, a potato famine in China, because they took the seed that was meant to be sown, the good seed, and they ate it all up. Isn't that what we do sometimes? God gives us this wonderful seed, and we just devour it. And it's meant to be planted someplace. It's meant to make changes in our lives and other people's lives. You may be reaping a famine in your life right now, but I believe that you can change that. I believe you can change into an abundant harvest. How do you know if you're making right decisions in your life? How do you know if you're hearing from God? As a child of God, I believe we can trust Holy Spirit that is inside of us. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." We're all led by the Spirit of God. If we know Christ is our personal Savior, we're led by the Spirit of God. Therefore, we can hear the voice of God. Sometimes it does take someone like Pastor Rob to stand up here and remind you what the Bible says. And you can, and then you say, oh yeah, that's right. I knew that. I just got off track. The Scripture tells us that we are God's children and He does speak to us without a doubt. So let's look at, we're going to start this morning. I'm not going to go very far with this. We'll look at this first principle. But let's look at five steps to make decisions with confidence. And I believe it can be any decision in our life. Number one, is your decision scriptural? 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for what? It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable to reprove us or keep us on the right track. For correction, we need to be corrected sometimes. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So this scripture tells us that the Word of God is the first thing we need to go to when we're deciding on doing something or whatever it is, the decision that we're trying to make. Number one, does it line up with the Word of God? Now, I'm not telling you that everything, every decision you make is in the Bible. You know, God's not going to tell you what color car you're supposed to get or whether you should buy Ford, Chevy, or Toyota, or whatever. That's just not the way it works. But I do believe this, that if we seek God's face, He will give us direction from His Word that we're on track with Him. As I read through, as I do my devotions on a daily basis, I read through the Word of God, it's amazing to me how a scripture that I saw, that I've read many times, when I'm going through something, it just jumps out at me and God speaks to me through that scripture. God is on the throne and He has promised that He will keep us on track. Number one, is the decision that you're making, is it a moral decision based on the Word of God? Morality is established by God. And it's the only guideline that we should establish morality on. God's standards can be found in His book, in His Bible. If you're trying to make a serious decision or decide where you can be best serve or do something for God, make sure your decision lines up with the Word of God. In Psalms 119, verse 109, the psalmist says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God will speak to you through His Word. It was interesting as we were studying Wednesday night and we went through the Word of God with each one of the steps that Darren had written down, how the Word of God just spoke to us about making decisions. That there was always something there that helped us to recognize that God was leading and directing us and He wants us to make decisions based on His Word. Many years ago, there was a military officer who happened to stop by the Hebrides Islands. And Hebrides was originally inhabited by cannibals. And many people, many missionaries went to the Hebrides to minister to those cannibals. Some of them lost their life in the process. But somewhere along the line, someone, I'm sure I could go back and do some research and find out exactly who it was, made inroads into the cannibals and the natives on those islands. And one of the chiefs received Christ, and it changed the whole place, all the islands. One day, a military officer from Great Britain went to these islands. He was just, they were cruising through, and this was in, you know, sometime after a great revival had taken place there. And this officer saw the chief sitting reading the Bible. And he said to the chief, he said, "What are you doing?" And the chief said, "I'm reading God's book." And the officer said, "Oh man, don't you know that that's outdated? We don't pay any attention to that book anymore. You need to come up to the times. This book is obsolete." And the chief said, "Sir, this book changed my life. This book changed me from a bad person to a good person." The officer said, "It's just fables and stories." So the chief said to him, he said, "Okay, let me get this straight. You want me to take this book and throw it in the ocean and eat you?" Now, that officer, what was he going to say? How was he going to respond to that? His stupidity told him, his desire to overlook God's word told him that that book was no good. But that man, the chief's heart had been changed, and he was no longer a cannibal. He was a good man who wanted to serve God. His direction had been changed by the word of God. Your direction can be changed by the word of God. I have absolutely no doubt about it. That's our God. He serves us. He allows us to serve him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And when we seek him, we seek after him and we follow his word, he's going to show us from his word that we are on the right track. That's the number one step that we need to take in making decisions, no matter what it is. Stand with me. God is on the throne. He loves you. His word is alive. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's alive. When it says quick, it means it's alive. It's alive. That's why we can read it and it comes alive to us. It makes sense in whatever the situation is that we are in. Our Lord is on the throne, and today he wants to speak into your life. If you're making decisions, you don't know which direction to go, first thing you need to do is go to the Word of God. You'll be on the right track. Let's pray. Father, you're such an awesome and mighty God. I praise you, Lord. This morning, we put our trust in you. And we recognize that your Word, it's powerful. It's inerrant, it's infallible, and we trust it. And we believe you speak to us through your word. You speak to us many other ways, Lord, but the number one way is from your word. So today, Lord God, we just give you glory and honor as you guide and direct us. Help us always to seek your word. Help us to know what your word says. Help us to chase after you in all things. Help us desire your word that David said, "Your word I will hide in my heart so that I'll not sin against you." Lord, we thank you for that. And we just ask that you guide and direct this people, this congregation. Touch our lives, Lord. Help us to trust your word always in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Have an awesome day. Don't forget, next week, Garrett is going to be sharing a word with us. We're excited about that.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and his kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.